Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Do you know what it means to go undercover? Going undercover is like being a spy. You have to pretend that you're someone else in order to achieve the goals of your mission. A lot of the times when we hear about someone going undercover, they're a detective or maybe a secret agent. Today, we're going to talk to someone who went undercover, but he wasn't a spy. He was an animal helper, dedicated to saving an endangered bear called the Sloth Bear. But I promise, he's just as cool as a super spy.
Growing up in India was fascinating. I love my country. I would never, ever move away from it because I love the biodiversity that we have, the culture, the people. Of course, we're also the most populated country in the world. You know, people are living cheek to jowl with wildlife. Every day you hear incredible stories.
This is Kartik Satyanarayan. He's the founder of an organization called Wildlife SOS, and he's the one who went undercover to rescue sloth bears. In fact, his mission to save sloth bears was so impressive and successful that he's often known as the Bear Man of India. But before we get to that, you need to hear about how Kartik started becoming an animal fan, because it's pretty spectacular. When he was just 14 years old, he would camp out in the jungle for days at a time.
Me and another buddy of mine, we'd take bicycles and pedal off to the nearest forest. And there was this beautiful national park called the Banargata National Park, about 15 miles from where we lived in Bangalore City. And we'd get there just before evening, as it's starting to get dusk. So we'd get to this place, which was this waterhole in the middle of the forest, a beautiful waterhole. Surrounded by trees, we'd find a tree that's about 30 or 40 feet high, climb up and settle down on one of the branches. You could see the hills in the backdrop. And just imagine, you know, the sounds of the jungle. As it becomes evening, you have the jungle fowl calling. It transitions, you hear the elephants trumpeting in the distance. This forest had wild elephants, tigers, leopards, and the jungle actually talks to you. It's incredible how the sounds just change. And then the jungle falls silent. And then it's dark. And that's when, you know, your mind really plays tricks on you. You start seeing all these shadows. Oh, maybe that's a bear. Maybe that's a leopard. You know, and you get really excited. And we're whispering to each other, hoping we don't fall off the tree in the excitement.
Can you imagine sitting like that at a watering hole in the jungle? Kartik's love of animals grew from the hours he spent sitting in the middle of the jungle, up close and personal with the natural world.
We were delighted. I mean, where else would you get to see a herd of wild elephants? And Asian elephants are very touchy. They're very protective of the young. But they were right there, barely a couple of hundred feet from us, bathing and frolicking in the water. We'd see wild leopards coming in. You know, a leopard call is called sawing, and it is truly like a sawing. So we heard this call, and I can imitate this. Like someone is actually sawing wood. And you're like, what? Who's out here sawing wood? And then you spot a leopard right there calling out, and the mate is on the other side of the waterhole. And they call to each other, and then they come together, drink some water, and then head off into the forest. How magical can that be? I mean, that got me really hooked to wanting to protect, preserve this incredible wealth that we are losing very rapidly.
From a young age, Kartik realized that incredible wild places like his favorite watering hole were disappearing as human villages turned into giant cities that spread out into the jungle. While some people care about preserving wildlife, others take advantage of animals and nature, as Kartik soon discovered as a college student working on collecting forest data.
First, I saw some movement further away down in a valley. And then I hear this hacking away of wood, you know, like a big tree being hacked. And then I paused. I asked my assistant to also look. So we both started scanning the landscape with our binoculars. And what did we see? We saw several of these trees that have been like a couple of hundred years old, huge teak trees. Now, teak is a very valuable form of wood. and it's used for furniture and doors and all kinds of things. And so there were some of these teak trees that had been felled, but this was obviously a gang that was doing it, you know, like a criminal gang that was running this little show. They were scared that there were going to be someone who's going to come down and catch them. And so that shocked me, and I was really upset by seeing this. Forests are the lifeline to people. I mean, we wouldn't exist if we didn't have forests. Back then, you know, I was a teenager. I had to kind of get down there and do what I could. And my tribal assistant, of course, told me, oh, there are too many people. There are like 20 people. We can't do anything about it. And I said, but let's try. So I got this idea in my head. We picked up a bunch of rocks. And both me and my assistant together, we threw them in different directions. So, and as these rocks bounded down on these dry leaves, it sounded like there were many people running down, and we ran down as well. And I screamed out loudly, saying, you know, get those guys, you know, get those people. Don't let them escape. Surround them, as if we were like, you know, 30 people team. And those guys really got scared, and they fluttered away like pigeons. Of course, we couldn't chase them all, but they just abandoned their tools, their gear, everything, and started running here and there, helter-skelter. I singled out this guy, chased him, and then we went through the forest. I finally cornered him because it was like a grove, and there was thick lantana bushes all around. There was nowhere he could run. And so he turned around very menacingly, and he had a machete in his hand. So he lifted the machete and looked at me. And I was, and you know, a lot of thoughts were going through my head at this point of time. I've got this guy cornered. He has a weapon in his hand. I had a range finder. It's a rectangular tool with two eyepieces that you look through for measuring distances. And it can be mistaken for a weapon. So I pulled it out of my side pocket and pointed it at him. And I said, if you don't drop that machete, I'm going to shoot you now. And I don't know why I said that. He dropped the machete, got down on the floor, and then me and my tribal assistant pounced on him, wrestled him to the ground, tied him up with the strap that I had for my my notebook bag. And we tied him up and had to take this guy back to the forest office, handed him over there. And of course, they were very grateful. They arrested him. Then through gathering information from him, they were able to go back to that village, arrest the mafia who was involved in that whole timber incident, and they recovered all of the timber. They arrested a whole bunch of people, and they were able to take them to court and punish them for that.
Wow. Kartik is clearly very brave when it comes to protecting wildlife and forests, and this bravery would come in handy a lot over the years, especially when he was faced with the issue of dancing bears in India. He first heard about the problem from a friend named Geeta, who helped start Wildlife SOS.
So she mentioned to me, have you seen this really bizarre practice of dancing bears? This is a very alarming practice. My initial work on seeing some of these really shocked me when I saw what a dancing bear was. We visited these villages just outside of Delhi initially, and we saw that this community, it was a nomadic community called the Kalandars. And these people had these bears staked out outside their house. Sloth bears are highly endangered. They are only found in the Indian subcontinent with a subspecies in Sri Lanka. But these bears were on the streets performing, jumping up and down. The bear was basically jumping up and down in fear. And the man had a stick. He would beat the bear, and the bear would hop up and down to avoid getting beaten. And that term was dancing. You know, people looked at this and said, oh, the bear is dancing. And I was like, no, that bear is not dancing. That bear is frightened. It's terrified. It's hopping up and down in pain. How can you imagine this is dancing?
Kartik was horrified to see what these bears were going through. And so he and Geeta launched a study to get to know these bears and the people keeping them to see what they could do to stop it.
It was extremely difficult to find out because we had to go undercover. Geeta and I had to pretend we were buyers. We were interested in buying cubs for a circus. We had to dress up very differently. We had to travel with these people for months and months. On trains, live on platforms, go to these little dwellings by the forest to find out what the truth was.
Going undercover was dangerous because the people who owned the bears would have been really mad if they discovered that Geeta and Kartik were trying to take their bears away.
When you go undercover, you have to pretend to be someone who you are not. And the people over there are suspicious. They know they're breaking the law. They're constantly scared that somebody would trip them up. So they're watching out for any mistakes that you do. And so you have to be very careful.
It was hard to pretend to be someone else, especially when Kartik saw the bear traders capture baby bears and hurt them.
It was also very hard for me to watch it. I had to kind of grit my teeth. When you go undercover, you cannot let your emotions or the look on your face or your expressions blow your cover. I would have let down not just myself, I would have let down our effort, and I would have not been successful at bringing an end to this practice. And when we did all of this research, we produced a report and gave it to the government of India to address this issue. And that kind of took the lid off on this really horrible secret that was going on.
Now that the government knew what was going on, Kartik and Geeta had the resources to stop the people who owned the dancing bears. But after living in this community and seeing why they relied so much on making money off of dancing bears, Kartik knew that they couldn't just take the bears away by force. They had to help this community make money a different way, without hurting sloth bears.
We went back and we said, listen, we want to help you guys. You don't have toilets. You have no place to stay. You have no support for your family. You beg on the streets with this bear. Your kids don't go to school. I mean, these were the problems that we saw in the community. So we started by giving them drinking water. They had no drinking water. We gave them a little pump. It was $300 back then. It was a lot of money for us, you know, 30 years ago. And so we gave them drinking water. They had never seen a pump in their village. And they said, wow, we are very grateful. Thank you for giving us drinking water. We sent over 11,600 children to school. We paid for their school fees. To be honest, I don't know how we found the money, but the universe just helped us. You know, we could not help the animals without helping the people. And we realized that those two components were intermeshed so deeply that we had to first try and get them to understand that they could have a better quality of life if they would leave the bears alone.
In addition to giving them water and education, Kartik also helped the people in these villages learn to start businesses. They learned to drive, make necklaces, weave baskets, and even weld tools.
They were earning 6 times more using these methods, alternative methods of livelihood, than depending on dancing bears. And that was a game changer. It took one man to voluntarily surrender his bear when we asked him, and we gave him the alternative livelihood option. He took it. And a week later, there was a long line of people wanting to surrender the bears peacefully, willingly.
One by one, the people began to give up their dancing bears to do work that was better for their families. Kartik would then help the bears and release them back into the wild so that they weren't being hurt anymore. It took a long time, about 17 years, but Kartik was able to free all of the sloth bears. All of the work he did, even though it was sometimes hard and scary, was worth it.
I would summarize all of it and say that if I dropped dead this minute, I would feel I have fulfilled my life to its absolute core. I have been able to give back. I feel I have been able to achieve the purpose for which I was put on this planet. Not only have I been able to help people, communities, the underprivileged, everything from little critters, snakes, birds, leopards, tigers, elephants, trees, plants, and I feel I'm leaving this planet a much better place than how I found it.
Kartik's bravery and willingness to do hard things to protect nature have really helped to change the lives of all sorts of people and animals in India. It's a great reminder that we can also be brave and help living things all around us, whether they're people or animals.
Going undercover to find a way to help dancing bears and save the day with creativity and courage to spare. The Bear Man of India shows he cares.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of the Constant Wonder Podcast, source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too. But you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Kartik Satyanarayan and his many adventures helping animals. To access the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode featuring Satyanarayan is titled Stories of Adventure from the Bear Man of India. You're likely to have an appetite for more than a single episode, by the way. Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.